This is Sunday morning worship for the fourth Sunday of Easter for April 21st. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of our life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were in the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This man, this Jesus, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the third chapter of the first letter of St. John. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemned us, God is greater than our heart, and we know everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, in our gospel reading, what we're doing is reviewing a little bit. Now that we have heard the news of the resurrection, since we have gotten the good news of Easter, now we look back to what we heard before, and perhaps we come to a better understanding of what was said earlier. I was thinking of this. This is sort of like when you as a parent or someone who is older try to tell your children what they ought to do and how they ought to think. Sometimes they don't really understand those words because they have not yet experienced everything. And so the real meaning of the words doesn't come just when they're spoken. In the same way, I think we have to have had this experience of Easter before we understand everything Jesus said and did. And so, too, this is what we are hearing today. The words that Jesus speaks today were spoken in the upper room, in that place where Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover together. On, as you remember from the words of institution, on the night when he was betrayed, that very same night he would be arrested, and the next day he would be crucified. And so what we hear today is part of this last message that Jesus gives before his death to the disciples. He tells them these things, but I don't think they understand a word of it. Much like perhaps you trying to give advice to your children. But after Easter, after they have seen him rise from the dead, then these words begin to make sense. And so, too, if we're going to make sense of them, we have to remember what Jesus did at Easter in his resurrection. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. That's a common phrase. Even today, this Sunday is sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday because we either get this reading or some other readings about how Jesus is a shepherd. You noticed in our introit that we used the 23rd Psalm, and we had some language of that also in the collect, I think, something about being a shepherd. It's funny how this sheep imagery and this shepherd imagery, this is still very popular, and yet I don't think most of us know much about sheep anymore or about being shepherds. When Jesus said this, and when the scriptures were written, people were very familiar with sheep. Israel, the ancient people of Israel, were very much involved in the industry of raising sheep and raising them for meat and for wool, and of course, offering them as sacrifices in their religious worship. And so they would be very familiar with what a good shepherd was. We, maybe not so much. When we hear about sheep, we have maybe images of cute little lambs. In the past, I've sometimes called this the Precious Moments Sunday, that we have this image of Jesus carrying around, a lamb over his shoulders and having a whole flock of sheep following him around. There's a famous picture that depicts Jesus this way. And so we think of cute images, and we think of softness and kindness and things like this. And that's our image of a good shepherd, someone who is kind and gentle and takes care of his sheep. But when Jesus describes what a good shepherd is, these disciples who know about sheep and anyone who has been a shepherd or worked with sheep, what he describes as being a good shepherd is not really a good shepherd. Not the way most shepherds think about themselves as shepherds. He describes the good shepherd as laying down his life for the sheep, and right away, that's not really good. He talks about the hired men who run away when the wolves come, who obviously run away because they're there for a paycheck, and it's not worth risking your neck for just, you know, probably meager wages. And so they let their sheep die. And Jesus compares himself to that and says that he will willingly die for his sheep, and that this is what makes him a good shepherd. But is this really a good shepherd? What really is a good shepherd? Basically, if you are in the sheep business, a good shepherd is the shepherd that gets the most lambs to market. A good shepherd is the one who makes the most money, right? A good shepherd is the shepherd who is successful at his business. That's how people in the sheep business would think about it, as I'm sure most of the people hearing this for the first time would have thought about it. When Jesus calls himself a good shepherd, and he equates that with dying for his sheep, that's not how most people would have thought a good shepherd would act. That doesn't make sense. Like the hired men who are smart enough to run away, a good shepherd knows what he's there for. A good shepherd is there to make a profit. A good shepherd is there to get these lambs to grow and to get fat so that they can be taken and sold where they'll be slaughtered and then make a lot of money. That's not a very cute image, certainly not a precious moments sort of image, but it is the truth, because that's what sheep are for. Sheep are for producing wool and meat. Sheep exist to turn grass into money. And to do otherwise, to die for your sheep, would be foolish, at least in the human way of thinking. There's another wrinkle to this as well. I sort of mentioned it before, but in Israel, of course, sheep are not merely just for wool and for meat, but sheep are also used for sacrifices. When the disciples were together with Jesus on that last night, they were celebrating the Passover. And the Passover, of course, is the story of how the Israelites left Egypt. But before they did that, each family slaughtered a lamb and used the blood of that lamb to paint their doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill the oldest son in the house. And that, at that time, that was the right thing to do. This was the good thing to do. The sheep dies so that the son can live. The sheep are sacrificed so that the people can eat and live and have a good life. That's what sheep are for. A good shepherd understands that sheep are for sacrificing. It's not a good shepherd who sacrifices his life for the sheep. That would be getting the whole thing backwards. And yet this is what Jesus says he will do. And this is why he calls himself a good shepherd. How can that be? I don't know what the disciples were thinking when they heard this. They hear Jesus talking about sacrifice and sacrificing himself. And even though they don't know exactly what's going to happen, they're not stupid. They know that many powerful men want to kill Jesus. And when they hear him talk about sacrifice, sacrificing himself, I think they have a good idea that this is what's going to happen. So far, I think they would understand what Jesus is saying. But how can this be good? It might be the will of the Father, but still it seems foolish. What good would it do for Jesus to die? How can this be a good thing? Especially, how can their leader sacrifice himself for them? That's not how it's supposed to work. The sheep are supposed to be sacrificed for the shepherd, not the shepherd for the sheep. The disciples really ought to sacrifice themselves for Jesus, not Jesus for them. How can this be good? Well, this is what Easter teaches us. Easter teaches us what is good. Easter is actually mentioned briefly in our reading today. Jesus says it twice. He says that he will lay down his life, but that he will pick it up again. He says he has authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. He says that two times. And it's that authority to take it up that changes everything. What good would it do for Jesus to die? Nothing, if he stays dead. But he doesn't stay dead. He rises. He comes back to life. And that makes it worthwhile. Back in the Old Testament, the sacrificial lambs were sacrificed at Passover, but of course also every year. Each family was supposed to sacrifice a lamb for the sins they had committed in the previous year. The sheep were there to be sacrificed for the people so that the people could live. And of course, this is also what Jesus does. But this isn't all that he did. A shepherd is also a leader of sheep. In the days before fences, in the days of open range, a shepherd was there to guide his sheep to where there would be new grass. The sheep would stay in a particular area until the grass was all grazed, and then they would have to be led someplace else where the shepherd knew there was more grass to be eaten. He would lead them, as Psalm 23 tells us, he would lead them to places where there was water to drink and grass to eat, good pastures, as it were. And so, too, our shepherd leads us. Jesus leads us. He is the sacrifice, but he is also the leader. He leads us to new life. When the Israelites celebrated the Passover, they did it on their way out the door, as it were. As soon as they eat, they take their things and they travel out and they cross through the Red Sea and they go eventually, after 40 years, but eventually they come to their promised land. So too, we follow our shepherd to our promised land. That promised land for us is not a country, it's not the land of Canaan. But our promised land, of course, is eternal life, the place where the sickness and the ill, the sins and the difficulties of this life are left behind, where we come to a place where we have everything we need, where everything is good. If Jesus had merely died, if that was the end of the story, then it would be pointless. He would not be a good shepherd. But because he rose, now we have hope for something better. The Easter story, the story of his resurrection, doesn't just change what he says, but it also changes how we live. It used to be, before the resurrection, before we knew about Easter, it used to be that we had to live like those hired men. We had to put our interests first. It was not worth sacrificing ourselves to the wolves just for a paycheck. That's the way it was for us. That's the way it was for everybody. You have to take care of yourself. You cannot sacrifice for others because nobody's going to sacrifice for you. But now we know we have something better. This isn't the only life we have. There is more life on the way. And knowing this, then we can begin to give to others. Then we can sacrifice a little bit of this life for the people around us. The Good Shepherd is our sacrifice. He is also our leader. And he teaches us not merely that we're going to live, that we're going to have eternal life, but he also teaches us how to live in this life, to follow him and begin to live as he does, to perhaps begin to sacrifice for each other. Now, we cannot sacrifice totally as he did. We cannot give everything. But knowing that we have so much more to come, that there is so much more life, then it becomes easier to give what we have. Then we can become good shepherds for each other. That's what Easter does for us. It teaches us this truth. The words of Jesus by themselves, although true, they're difficult to understand until we have experienced the Easter message. Until we know about his resurrection from the dead, they don't really make sense. What kind of a shepherd sacrifices for the sheep? How can we sacrifice for each other? Well, we can do these things, and Jesus becomes the good shepherd because he rose from the dead. Let us always remember that message and always remember that he is our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you alone gather us as your sheep and send faithful shepherds to us. Call all who have wandered from your flock and bless the faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us. Grant them aid in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Here are prayers today for Shirley Rothman, Jerry Yates, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Deladonis, Courtney Cooker, Terry Sheldon, Elizabeth, Tim Bradford, Neil Montgomery, and Phyllis Vanover. And also for Joe, Cecil, Nick, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Ron, Karen, Mike, Margaret, John, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Jean, and Vonnie. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, goodness, Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners, and have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against him. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.